This is the 100th anniversary today of the first Armistice Day in the United States. President Woodrow Wilson officially declared it Armistice Day on November 11th of 1919, marking the end of World War I, which was a year to the day the year before in 1918. There was a ceremony up at the Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill at the site of the new Orange County Veterans Memorial earlier today to mark the occasion. Veterans, of course, all over the country celebrating the day, including Waddy Davis, who you may know if you're a regular listener to this show. He comes in for our Other Side feature. He's also a veteran and with a long, long history of service to this country. So, Waddy, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Aaron. It's a special day for sure.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. You know, it's interesting with the 11th hour, the 11th day, and 11th month that armistice was signed, making it recognizing Armistice Day. And it went to President Eisenhower, you know, as the Supreme Commander in World War II, changed it to a national holiday and making it on November 11th. Mm-hmm. So that was in 1954.
Because we already had Memorial Day, right? Recognizing veterans who had or troops who had died in the line of duty, and nothing recognizing veterans who had served. And
yeah, and essentially Memorial Day is always the fourth Monday of the month.
In May. Yeah. Yep. Did you go to the ceremony earlier today?
Or? I did go to the ceremony
today. How was
it? I thought it was well done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took 4 years in the making to get that put in place. So, but I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it recognized. You know, David Price was there, and Penny Rich from Orange County was there. It was well done. I thought I liked it.
Yeah. How about the memorial itself? That's newly been built and being built, right? Phase
it's
two is about
built.
To start.
So right now you just got the flag up and they got schematics and architecture of what it's going to look like. It's going to look really sharp. And they had a good showing. There was over 100 people there. It took kind of a head count.
Awesome.
So I like that.
Awesome. Speaking with Waddy Davis, who again, a long history of personal service in the U.S. Armed Forces, tell us about your service. You're wearing a shirt recognizing your service in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I spent 30 years. I was a Special Forces guy. Mm-hmm. I started off in the infantry in Vietnam, and then I spent 3 years in Afghanistan and wrapped it up. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that a lot of lessons learned from Vietnam weren't transported over to Afghanistan particularly, even though they were both guerrilla wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd, you know, both, but it was interesting, you know, in Vietnam there's a lot of ingenuity, you know, with the Viet Cong fighting them. I had one time, just seconds away from a Jeep, I was leaving our base camp and getting blown up, had a lieutenant, had a Bowie knife, and he was waving it and stopped us maybe 5 yards and away from us because he was digging up this charge. It was two bamboo sticks with battery and wires, and so when a Jeep or a vehicle ran over it, it set a charge off, and it was a pound of TNT. It would have probably blown us, you know, 10 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just shows you the ingenuity of them. And same thing, and then you go to Afghanistan, and over there, you know, they just, it's IEDs, improvised explosive devices, they called them, and suicide bombers. And those people would mask themselves on mopeds, donkey carts, vehicles. I think one of the saddest things I did experience in Afghanistan is that I had to walk from our base camp over to the Minister of Defense, where I was a senior advisor. And there was a group of four kids there almost every day after school. They went to a German school adjacent to us. And a kid rode up on a moped and had a suicide vest. So we don't know if he self-detonated it or was it detonated remotely with a cell phone. But I was leaving the Ministry of Defense and that happened, so I had to stay there for a couple more hours. And that was a tough experience having to walk by that thing, that same site, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, you're going over there. So the message that they wanted to send was, don't talk to Westerners, don't talk to coalition forces. And so it's a wrong. I think we prosecuted both those wars wrongly. I know we're here to talk about veterans, but I can put a pitch into that because a lot of those people that served, and you know, they're guerrilla wars primarily. Vietnam War, you fought a NVA, who's a Vietnamese Army, but a lot of guerrillas with the Viet Cong, and in Afghanistan, it's purely Taliban in a guerrilla war. So you got to fight fire with fire. So us in Special Forces. And our specialty is that. So it's the old adage, if you teach a man to fish, you feed him a day, you give him a fish, you feed him a lifetime. And we do. We train them, and give them guidance and direction and intelligence. And they primarily do the fighting.
Speaking with Wadi Davis, what did you do between Vietnam and Afghanistan?
I was at Fort Bragg, mm-hmm. and I was a deputy director of the Army school system up at Fort Monroe, Virginia, training doctrine command.
Mm. And Were you assigned to go back to Afghanistan? Did you volunteer?
I volunteered to
go. Okay, yeah. What was that had to have been a difficult decision, but it's a momentous decision, right?
To
make that decision.
You know, I guess when you're a professional and that's your trade, mm-hmm. you know, that's where you want to be, because mm-hmm. basically what the Army does all day long is they train as you fight. So you're training in preparation. So you get into the theater like that and you really have an operation to put all the tools that you have in your kit together. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things that I did observe in both wars is that I think both, particularly in our political environment, you know, whoever president, the administration, and in Congress, they're too quick to use the military as an arm of policy. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing full negotiations, looking at sanctions, all the things to bring to people to table, which you're trying to accomplish there. And sometimes it just doesn't work, and this is the only way you have.
Mm-hmm. What else did you learn?
In Vietnam
or
Afghanistan?
Just anywhere.
Well, I learned that people are basically all the same. Mm-hmm. You know, that they have the same desires. You know, they're family-oriented. They were that way in Vietnam, they're that way in Afghanistan. But they're very tribal in how they think. And I think in Vietnam, there's primarily a lot of people very skewed in their thinking of being Buddhists and Catholics. And all the Catholics in the North had to migrate to the South. Mm-hmm. And then in Afghanistan, you know, you have four primary different tribes there. And Pushtun's a primary tribe with 40% of the population. And essentially the national language is Dari, which is Tajik. Mm-hmm. And they're about 24% of the population. And they're the ones that really had the Northern Alliance that when the Special Forces went in at the beginning of the war and kicked all the Taliban out working with warlords. And then we got sidetracked, and we went to Iraq, and so we didn't have any forces in Afghanistan, so we took our eye off the bubble there and spent all that time in Iraq. And then we had to go back to Afghanistan, and we're still there 19 years later. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just we weren't prepared for what we really set out to do. We didn't understand the type of warfare, and no one's won in several centuries in there. The British were kicked out twice. Alexander the Great didn't get through there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting experience, and I enjoyed it. I worked with some quality people. I think the general I worked with over there was, you know, a black belt. He was a poet. He actually wrote a book of poetry. I'm actually working with him now to get that book translated, because my translator is now here and is a refugee in the United
awesome.
States.
Okay.
And see if I can get that published for him.
Yeah. Very cool. Speaking with Wadi Davis, so we're already getting to the point where you have to start wrapping up. Let's bring it back to Veterans Day, though. As a veteran yourself, what does this day mean to you?
It's a special day. So I think it's a day that we recognize, you know, the sacrifice. And most of the people who are veterans were very patriotic, and that's mm-hmm. why they went in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 20.4 million veterans in America right now, and we have 670,000 veterans right here in North Carolina. And so that means, you know, that somebody has 1 in 10% of the population is veterans. So somebody who knows has a relative or a family member that's in the military. And so that's a good thing. And I would like to see more young people gravitating into the military. Right now we have 20% in Congress of our senators of prior military experience. And in the legislature's 19%. But if you go back to 1987, it was like 81%, and then in 67, it was 75%, you know, veterans were in the legislature. But I'm encouraged today, like myself, I'm involved at a level, you know, local. So you're finding veterans getting at the local, state, and national level getting involved. Women, too, that are in Congress. Mm. And we're going to see more of that, I think, going into the next 45 years.
It's kind of a side point, but I spent a lot of my years growing up hanging out at my dad's VFW, my grandpa's VFW. So that kind of sense of community and that organization was very active at the time, and a little bit less so now. You see VFW membership down and American Legion membership down. Are there other organizations for veterans? veterans that are taking their place, or is membership in those organizations still strong?
No, they're still strong. I think there's a lot of organizations out there you can belong to, but I think those are the mainstay organizations. And I think what's happening is that people just aren't belonging so much anymore. You know, they're just getting away from that.
Yeah, or belonging in different ways that we can't measure, like Facebook groups and
that's
things
true.
Like that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of
but
that.
But it's not the same thing as being in a physical place, so you'll lose something that way.
I think
way.
A lot of veterans, too, Aaron, to come here right now, you know, they feel somewhat disenfranchised. I know I did, and I came back from Vietnam. And there's a disproportionate number of veterans that are homeless or going to get a job. And I'll tell you another thing, it's hard simulating back in society.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back here from Afghanistan, you know, you go to a grocery store and you look at the shelves being stocked full, and over there they got pigs, in, you know, hanging out just on a hook out there. And
Yep.
And so it's a transition. It took a couple of years for me just to kind of acclimate and get back into it. And, you know, when I came back to Vietnam, we didn't even know what PTSD was, post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think now the veterans are coming back, and soldiers and from Iraq and Afghanistan are getting proper treatment. I know there's problems with the Veterans Administration, and the administration is working hard on that to get that improved and been doing it. It's slow coming. My personal experience here in the Triangle over at Durham has been nothing but first class. I've had good results going over there, working with people, getting things that you need attention to, and not having to wait a long time.
Mm-hmm. What can we be doing better to serve veterans that we're not currently doing, or that we're not, that we're not doing well enough?
As a country, I think that I think we have the vehicles in place. Mm-hmm. We just need to get them more people in those that work in those jobs in the VA and different places more tuned in to helping people, to get more of a service-oriented attitude. You know, it's not a, you know, they got to have an attitude of service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they appreciate who's out there and what they're doing in their job. It's just not just a job as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, this is a good time to reflect on the peace that we have and we enjoy in this country. You know, we need to be thankful for that. Yeah, because there's a long list of things that veterans are still dealing with when they come back from a conflict.
Yep.
And probably one story I had, I was sharing with someone just before today, earlier, is that when I was in Vietnam, I was a platoon leader, and we were pinned down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had with a radio operator. So you can't have the antenna up. You got to run it down the shirt sleeve and down the back. And so a rocket propelled grenade came over, and fragments got him in the side. And so I had what they call an M72 loss, like a bazooka. And so you can extend it out, it's just about 3.5 feet, and it has a range of 400 meters. But it's really an anti-tank weapon, but we used it for bunkers and things like that. So I knew there was a sniper up in this tree, but I couldn't tell exactly where. I just fired it up there, and we didn't hear anything for another 15 minutes. All the shooting stopped. We did a sweep. We couldn't find any body or blood trail. So we just felt we scared the heck out of the guy, and he just climbed down and left. So, but it was that kind of a war. You know, you just came across things, and you had to practice what you knew.
You got to wrap up. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts, I think we have veterans are a great special group of people. And I think that, you know somebody, it doesn't just take Veterans Day to thank them for their service and to appreciate the fact, the sacrifices that we make today, our Army and our military and Navy, Marines, Coast Guard are in service too, because it's a gateway to keep us at peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the people out front that we'd call first to duty.
Again, today is the 100th anniversary of the Declaration of Armistice Day, the 101st anniversary of the end of World War I. Waddy Davis, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Aaron.